is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Hello, I am Paul Harris, and with the strains of Billy Joel's Big Shot in the background, let's talk about big. Remember the phrase, too big to fail? It's what we were told about our nation's financial institutions 5 years ago when they started to fail and started a huge recession in this country, biggest one we've had since the Depression. Well, my next guest, Richard Eskow, says that there are still organizations in this country, institutions, if you will, that are so large, so big, so mammoth, that they could destroy America. He blogs about it on Salon.com and SmirkingChimp.com, and he's a senior fellow with the Campaign for America's Future. Richard, welcome to America Weekend.
Good to be here, Paul.
So since Too Big to Fail, have those same institutions themselves gotten bigger?
They have. I mean, if we start with the banks which got us into so much trouble in 2008, and that's trouble, of course, that a lot of people aren't out of yet in terms of their jobs and so on, are actually bigger now than they were then. And part of that is because the government encouraged them to merge with other banks, and part of that is because they, once an institution gets big, it's got clout and it's got leverage, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger if we don't do something about it.
As you know, the number of people who went to jail over the financial crisis and people who were at the helm of the financial institutions at the time that the crisis began, you can count the number of people who went to jail on one finger.
You can count them on no fingers, actually. And that's despite the fact that the much smaller savings and loan scandal, which took place in the 80s, more than 1,000 people were criminally indicted there. Zero here. And we got the Attorney General of the United States saying, well, we can't indict them because it would pose a risk to the economy because they're just too big. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but either way, it tells you a lot when you can literally spend tens of billions settling crimes, which is what these banks have done, and never go to jail because folks think you're too big.
Were there earlier times in American history where our government did its job in that regard by saying, you know what, you're too big, we can't let you go unregulated the way you're going?
Sure. We've done it with the railroads. We've done it with the old Wall Street combines that were put together. We've done it. We've even, as a government and as a society, looked at other kinds of stores and chains that just got so big that they were dominating the market. And, you know, this should be something that brings people together all across the political spectrum, because conservatives say that they believe in a free market. Well, you don't have a free market when one or two or three or four companies runs everything. And we've done it going back to the 1890s. Teddy Roosevelt did it, you know, in the early part of the 20th century. So it's something we know how to do, but if we don't do it, then we get into real trouble.
Why aren't we doing it?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think one of the reasons, and people can see it all around them, is that these very large organizations, private corporations and so on, are paying off enough politicians in both parties to get a free ride, and there's certainly everybody who's supposed to regulate them, all the cops on the beat, whether they're, you know, the SEC for Wall Street or the Justice Department or whatever, they all know, whichever party they work for, that there's a very high-paying job waiting for them, provided they don't ruffle too many feathers while they're in office. So what we've got now is that revolving door where you go from being number two in the Justice Department to the top guy at a huge law firm defending the people you were supposed to be going after. You know, that's a formula for legalized corruption, and that's what I would say we have right now.
Now, when you write about these mammoth institutions, we're not just talking about the banks, and we're not just talking about government, right?
Absolutely. I mean, those are the big ones, but I think that people need to look at, for example, even something like a charity that, if we let one charitable organization, we saw that with the Susan Komen Race for the Cure, the pink folks, they got so big and so dominant in that field of breast cancer research that they started bullying other charities, forcing them to play by their rules, using lawsuits and intimidation. And then when they decided all on their own that they didn't like the politics of a group like, let's say, Planned Parenthood, which might be the only group offering women's health health clinics and breast cancer screening in an area, they just cut them off. And I don't think that people who gave their money to that or another charity, there are others like the Robin Hood Foundation, I don't think when you give your money to a charity like that, you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm giving this charity the power to make political decisions or really control this area of giving. People don't really think it through, but if we don't let even something that seems as benign as that to have a lot of different forces competing in there, you get dominance, you get control, and you get a kind of loss of choice, and all Americans should be for that kind of freedom.
It's also not good for smaller charities that kind of get squeezed out because the bigger charities end up with more of those dollars, right?
Well, absolutely, and then what happens is they do what this charity did, which is they started suing anybody who used the words "the cure" in their name or "race for the cure" or any of those things. That's not how we want our charity dollars to be spent, by suing other people. So I suggested that the British rock and roll band The Cure sue them. But you can't own a word like The Cure, so that's not what we want our money to be for. If you have a lot of different charities out there, you can choose which one you like, and that's how it should work.
All right, when you talk about big institutions, in your piece on Salon, You included Google and Facebook as among those that could destroy America. Why?
Well, look, when we say something like could destroy America, people say, well, that's hyperbole or whatever. These guys have so much data. I talk to people all the time in my work, and they say, I will never give up my freedoms for a political situation. And I tell them, you give up your freedoms to play Mafia Wars. So people don't really think about what they're giving up when they give their data to a Facebook or to a Google or to some other organization. And we're starting to see it now with this NSA revelations coming out. But these guys have so much information on you that at best, we're one or two heartbeats away from a situation where if the wrong leaders got into power and collaborated with the wrong corporations, all the mechanisms are there now to know everything about what we do. With the technology that's in place now, I can know your political leanings, I can know your social life, I can know your sexual orientation, meaning if I'm one of these organizations, and then I can start trading on that for commercial purposes. They're already using it to sell things to you. It's not a big step to say that that could lead to the loss of all the freedoms we treasure.
Yeah, I just read an excerpt from Jonathan Alter's new book in which he talks about how the Obama campaign all the way back in 2008 and even more in 2012 was able to know so much about people through public information, not even through spying, but through public information, that they were able to target, micro-target, who they wanted to have go out and be their spokespeople in the community to convince people to vote for them. And if they're doing that, corporate America is doing the same thing.
Absolutely. There are sites out there where they will publicize how much you owe on your house, how big, what your house is worth, what your car is worth, what your other debts are. This information is available, and it's really frightening when you start to look at it.
Okay, but how could that destroy America? That's the other part of the equation. Describing how big they are is A. B has got to be, what do you mean they could destroy America?
Well, we're a country, when we think of America, we think the United States of America, we think of a company with individual freedom, individual liberty, individual privacy. Right now we have a situation where, I'll give you a simple example. If my FICO credit score is too low nowadays, I can't get a job. Employers look at that. Employers have access to that. So if let's say that the bank does a lousy deal with me, tries to shaft me on my mortgage, I argue with them, we go into a dispute, all of a sudden my credit score drops, all of a sudden I can't get a job. That means I don't have a freedom to say no to my bank anymore. If my bank says to me, your mortgage just went up $300 a month, I have one choice. I can say yes, or I can never succeed in applying for a job again. That's not freedom. That's not the America we know. And that's just one example of how this could work without the government even being involved. And then you throw in the fact that now the big creditors and debtors like the banks are actually hiring the courthouses and court systems of the United States of America to chase down debts and paying the courts a percentage of what they collect. That's not America anymore as I know it, and that's what we're facing.
I fear that the horse is out of the barn at this point, Richard.
Well, you know, a lot of people say that, and I think that that may be true, but we've caught horses before and put them back in the barn. So, you know, I think the answer is, you know, and that tends to be the reaction, Paul. I think everybody has a, well, it's too late, you know, they've already won and all that. I don't think that's true. I think that they've gone a long way, but I think that we can set rules of the road. We can demand transparency. We can say, I want to know what Facebook's doing. I want to know what Google's doing. I want to know what my government is doing.
Yep.
And we can set rules of the road that say, well, here's what you can and can't do with this. I don't think it's too late for that, and I think we should be insisting on accountability from all these organizations.
I hope you're right. Richard Esko, thank you for joining me today here on America Weekend.
America Weekend.